So there are a few aspects here. Number one, if what is the nature of the Isser of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av? And then there's a little bit more practically on what you are allowed to learn, what you aren't allowed to learn, what you are allowed to say. But also, you have to ask an interesting question, meaning, are you chayiv to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av? Meaning, we're going to see in the Gemara, it says you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. But there are certain things that are mutter to learn. So how do we look at that? Do we look at that as if you're really chayiv to learn on Tisha B'Av, just like you're chayiv to learn the rest of the year? There's no heter of lack of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. So so what does it mean that you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av? Like who are the Rabbanim to come along and take away the arguably the most important chiyuv there is? So how can they just take that away from you? So you could argue, no, you're allowed to learn these things. So on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to learn you want to learn. My pleasure. So you're not allowed to learn Sanhedrin and Makkos and whatever, but you're allowed to learn Elul Megalchin and Moed Katan, and you're allowed to learn Hilchos Avelos, you're allowed to learn Hilchos Tisha B'Av, you could learn the Sugyas and Gittin that talk about the Churban. So no, you're fully chayav to learn Torah. You just have to focus on these inyanim. So that's the second. I don't think we'll get to that tonight, but that's the second point I wanted to speak about as well. So let's take a look in the Braisa in the Seches Tainus. So we keep, it's almost like a regular day of Shiva when we're observing Tisha B'Av. Asur ba'achilo, b'shtiyo, b'sicha, v'nila sasando, v'tash m'shamita, v'asur likros b'tor nevi m'ksuvim, v'lishnos b'mishnah, b'talmud, b'medrish, v'alachos v'agadah. So you're not allowed to learn anything. You're not allowed to learn Tanakh, you're not allowed to learn Mishnah, Gemara, Medrish, Halacha, Agadah. Right, Aval Korei, what can you learn? You can Korei b'makom she'eno rugil likros. You can read, and Korei, when the Brises say Korei, it always means learn Tanakh, right, Mikra. So you're allowed to read psukim that you're not familiar with. Vishone makom she'eno rugil lishnos. You're allowed to learn Torah Shebaal Peh from sugyas that you're not, currently familiar with.
So, isn't the no Esra Achila and drinking on during Avelos? So why does he say that just like anything with Avelos, so do we price that Tisha B'Av when on Avelos you're not eating and drink?
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's the price is not being fully exact in the sense that obviously Tisha B'Av has Achil and Shtia, which is above and beyond Avelos, but nevertheless it's Aser and the other things mitzad the Avelos. And it's funny because we always equate Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur because we have the same Inuyim, but the focus is totally different, right? So and then that's obviously the Mishnah and Tainus as well. It's one of the Yomim Tovim LiYisrael, where include Yom HaKippurim and Tu B'Av. So we view Yom Kippur as a much more positive day, even though we're observing the same Inuyim, but we observe them not from a position of Avelos, from a position of Kedusha. Right, so it's a little bit different, but here the rest does identify itself with Avelos, just like an Avel is not allowed to learn Torah either. And so, what are you allowed to read? So the Tanakhama here says you're allowed to learn things that you're unfamiliar with. Makori b'kinos, you can read kinos. So kinos in the Braisa means Megillas Eicha. So whenever the Gemara talks about kinos, the Gemara in Baba Basra that lists off who wrote all the different Sfarim and Tanakh wrote that Yirmiyahu wrote kinos. Right, so he didn't write any of the kinos that we say. Most of those, well, I'd say the vast majority of them written by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. He was lived in the times perhaps of the Tanaim, maybe a little bit later. Tosfos seems to say that he was a Tana, but others suggest that he lived later than that. But nevertheless, Yirmiyahu wrote Megillas Eicha. That's what it's referred to by Chazal as kinos. And you're allowed to learn Megillas Eicha, Iyov, Midvarim HaRoim, Shebi Yirmiya, right? So there are psukim of Nechama in Yirmiya also, so you're not allowed to learn that, but you're supposed to dafka learn the psukim of Churban in Yirmiya. V'tinoko shel beis Rabban b'teilin, you should cancel the yeshivas, right? Mishum Shenemar, Pkudi Hashem Yisharim, Issam Chelev. And there's no yeshiva that day for little kids because the pasuk says, Pkudi Hashem Yisharim, Issam Chelev, that the Torah of Hashem, or the commandments of Hashem, are straight, and they make the heart rejoice. So Torah brings you happiness, and therefore you're not allowed to learn Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that was the Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Af eno kori b'makom she'eno rugil likros, v'eno shone b'makom she'eno rugil lishnos. you're not allowed to learn anything just because you're not familiar with it. So that's not acceptable. Aval kori hu biyov v'kinos v'dvar maram shev yirmiyo v'tinoko shel b'shrav v'telem v'mishim shenem v'pkudei shem v'sham v'sam v'leit. So he said, I agree to everything else, but I don't agree to this din that you can't, you're allowed to learn something just because you're not familiar with it. That's going a little too far. Okay, so that's the basic outline of what you are and aren't allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, and the Gemara seems to give the reason, although the Maharsha, I don't know if you had a chance to see that Maharsha, it's probably towards the later on, yeah, source number 10. I think there are two source number 10s, yeah. I was adding in some sources to an old source sheet, so I messed up the numbering. But the Maharsha has a different take on the whole thing. Well, maybe we'll just mention it now. But so he quotes, it's just an interesting way to read the Gemara. Pirish Rashi, Rashi says, what's the pshat? The way we read it, Mishum dechsev bahu misam chilev, Adkan Shah. Meaning, Rashi says, now I learn Torah because the pasuk says that Torah makes your heart rejoice. Vilule pirusho nire, had it not been for Rashi, it would appear to me to say, the lab mishum simcha naguva. It's not about the rejoicing. The lo maisi haikra, the misam chilev, elabisefa, gabi tinoko shel bisraba. So he says, no, look at the positioning of the pasuk. It says, you're not allowed to learn. You are allowed to learn some things. And Tinoko Shel Bisraban are betalim because it says, B'kudei Shem V'sharam V'sam Chilev. So he says, why? That's only saying why they closed down the cheder, the elementary school. That's why they shut down that. But it's not, B'kudei Shem V'sharam V'sam Chilev is not because of, that's not the reason why an average person is not allowed to learn. That's just the reason why the little kids are not allowed to learn, because the Torah will make them rejoice. So, I mean, obviously this is difficult as well in terms of like, so why would it make a little kid rejoice and not an adult? That's a little bit strange. Right, so he answers this now where he says, Ikatai machrina mishum shelo yishkach evlo shel yom. We don't, the reason for adults is because we don't want him to forget the avelus of the day. We don't want to be mesiach das from the avelus. Uvishara sakim nami aser mehai taima. So that's why you're not allowed to involve yourself with other things as well. Ularabusa naka dafilu lomotora aser bo. What they're saying is you're not even allowed to learn Torah. Meaning, of course, you're not supposed to be doing other things. You should be focusing on the avelus of the day, right? And that's why you are allowed to learn these other things, because these other things will just remind you of the avelus of the day. So obviously, if you're learning kinos, it's going to remind you of the avelus of the day, not the other way around. It's not going to distract you from it. Right? So he says, Uvishar asakim nami, so my time, sorry, I said that. Aval tinok, but tinoko shabish rabban, nokat le mikra, de aser mihas. Mishum simcha. He says, no, but for little kids, they don't have this obligation to be, you know, not to be mesiach das from Navelus. So there we say that they're not allowed to learn because of simcha. Fine. So, again, it doesn't mean that the Torah is not mesamech other people, but in other words, for kids who are not allowed to, you know, who are not mechuyev to engage in Navelus so actively, so they would be allowed to learn Torah had it not been for the fact that Torah is also mesamech. So that's the Marsha's take on it, but that doesn't seem to be the standard approach amongst most of the Rishonim, certainly, and most of the Mefarshim, besides the Marsha. So Rashi's approach is simply that the pasuk of B'kudei Sher Hashem Yishlar Misam Chilev applies to all of the above. You know, you're not allowed to learn any Torah because Misameach Chilev. So what do we do? The problem becomes, what do we do about all the things that we say and do all, you know, every single day? Tisha B'Av is not, you know, still has all the davening. So we say, what do we do when we wake up in the morning? We say Berachas HaTorah, we say Yivarechecha, and you know, Parshas HaTamid, Ezim HaKoma, and Rabbi Shmuel Omer, and Psukei D'Zimra is all Tehillim. You know, everything is Torah. So what are we going to do already? So we shouldn't be able to daven anything. And we have Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av. We have two Kriyas HaTorahs on Tisha B'Av. So and we have two Haftorahs that we read. So everything is, some you could argue that Haftorahs are at least said. Well, the later Haftorah is not said, it's more about Tshuva. But, right, so you could say it's after Chatzos, but there's no heter to learn Torah after Chatzos.
Really?
No. The only thing that is, this is an interesting thing, that for some reason people are not aware of the changes after Chatzos. There's very minimal changes after Chatzos. Again, there's no longer the same level of Isser to be Mesiach Das from the Avelus. There's a machlokus in the Mishnayos whether or not it's permissible to go to work or not on Tisha B'Av. So if you would be going to work, really the Iker Heter would be after Chatzos on Tisha B'Av. It's a Tully in the Minhag HaMakom according to the Mishnayos and Psachim, but nevertheless, it's not. It really shouldn't go before Chatzos if you can possibly avoid it. Like basically, if you won't get fired. So if you're going to get fired, so you can go. But if you anything short of getting fired, you really should wait until after Chatzos to go in. If it's just about making money, then you should really just skip the day. But if you know sometimes you're expected to go to work, like they're not going to fire you, but like you got to show your face. So it's best to do it after Chatzos if possible. So, okay, but that's really the only and sitting on a regular chair. That's mostly because the minhag to sit on the floor is a much lesser minhag than most of the other dinim, which are much older and stronger dinim.
Is like bringing a pillow like counterproductive to that?
So I would say, you know, if the reason for the pillow is because you really enjoy sitting on a pillow, then you shouldn't. If the reason for the pillow is that, you know, you're sitting on the floor and it's kind of difficult, so then, you know, if it's you're not machuyev to bang your head against the wall the whole day, you know. So, you know, you don't have to put yourself in pain. It's just that we remove benefit. We remove pleasure. That's all these things. That if a person finds himself in actual pain, then he's really not doing the right thing. It's just a question of he's not receiving some basic pleasures. So that's you have to cheshbon how you feel.
Not to wear shoes.
Right.
Is that like a thing? Like, is it like, isn't there something that you can't daven? Oh, it's just if you're only wearing socks, like normally you can't daven because it's like a velus. But it's like a minhag velus not to wear shoes when you daven.
Right.
So is it like?
So it's not, you know, the issue with the shoes is that there is an isser to wear shoes on Tisha B'Av. However, the definition of shoes, al pi halacha, is generally shoes that are made out of leather and not shoes that are made out of other things. The Gemara has examples of different makeshift cloth type shoes that the Amoraim wore on, I don't remember, I think it was Yom Kippur. So based on that, you know, many poskim are lenient for any non-leather shoes. However, there's always been a debate, I think already going back to the times of the Gaonim, how lousy do your shoes have to be? Like, really, the sneakers that I'm wearing right now are not leather sneakers, and they're, you know, I wear them bedafka because I find them more comfortable than the shoes that I wear all year round. So the Minhag Yisrael is generally to be makel. There is room to be machmir if you feel, you know, if you feel that it's appropriate for you to be machmir for such a thing, then it's worthwhile. Now there are other reasons given for the leather shoe business, specifically that wearing leather shoes is I forgot who says this. Wearing leather shoes is symbolic of man's dominion over the animal kingdom. Meaning, right, it's leather. We're wearing an animal skin on our feet. We're stepping on them at every second. So when you're in Avelus, so they say both on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, it's not our time to define ourselves by being the top of the food chain. You know, whether it's because of Avelus, we don't want to define ourselves as the top of the food chain because we feel like we're below everybody else. You know, and on Yom Kippur, we're above that. We're not going to define ourselves as like the most evolved ape. You know, we're going to define ourselves as malachim. So therefore, we don't get involved in these petty matters. So either way, if you hold like that, then really the only inyan is just leather shoes. They used to come out with different piskei halacha from Rabbi Yashiv that he was trying very hard to convince people not to wear sneakers or Crocs or whatever. You know,
what did he say?
Wimpy slippers, you know, or something that you would feel the ground. You know, and if you can't really walk around camp so much with. You know, I think people wear slides, that's for sure. I think everybody would agree that's valid. You know, I think if you can't walk around feeling, you know, because it's going to hurt your feet on the rocks, so then, you know, you could walk around with the regular, meaning poskim have cases where, you know, you actually have to walk around the roads, so you can put shoes on to walk around the roads, and then when you get inside, you take them off. So that's also an option. Okay. But so the Ritva, in dealing with this issue of what are we supposed to do the whole day in terms of all the Torah, so here he writes that in a Seder Hayom Bechlal, says nothing that has to do with the Seder Hayom is a problem. Anything that's the normal Psukkah Dizimra, Shachris, Korbanos, all of those things are acceptable. Shari Korim Mitor Maftir Menavi, Bekorim Kriyashma. Right? Hodin, now let's say Shema, you have a mitzvah d'orais of Kriyashma two times on Tisha B'Av. Not going to be Mavatal a mitzvah of Kriyashma. So he says, Meata Ein Lahimanami Likro Parsha Es Korbani Lachmi. You can read the Parsha Satamid, Be'ezel Mekoman, Bekorim Kedarka, Ve'no Choshesh. You could read the, you know, you could read the Parshas of Korbanos, right? And it's interesting because the Meiri, the next source, says there are those opinions, of, and he's quoting other Rishonim. He's not just saying, like, when he says Yesh Omrim, he's not just saying that, like, word on the street is. He means other Rishonim say, you can't say anything that's not an absolute chiyuv, you can't say it. Right? He quotes, so what's not really a chiyuv? So it's not really a chiyuv to read the Parshas Korbanos, right? It's certainly a very good thing to do, to read the Parsha Karbanos, but it's not a chiyuv, so you're not allowed to. And you can't say Rabbi Shmuel Omer and Ezer Mokoman. And you can't say Oz Yashir, because that's not... Oz Yashir is a later addition to the Psukkah de Zimra. So he says, V'eini roa to'alas b'divrayim. I don't see the point of what they're saying. She'im kein af kol Psukkah de Zimra. And look, in other words, once we're asering, we should aser everything. Says Elakol Shu Nemar Derech Shevach the Derech Shis Ora Adam Bahem Lahachnia Lavavel Tfila in Bah Mishim Simchel Mutter. What's the whole point of Psukkah de Zimra? What's the whole point of Korbanos? Either we're praising Hashem or we're trying to lower ourselves in the presence of Hashem so that we can daven properly, right? Lo Olam Yisader Adam Shevachu Shel Makom Achakach Nispala. So that's the Gemara says that according to the Rishonim. That's one of the two sources for Psukkah de Zimra. There's two sources for Psukkah de Zimra. One of them is that you should first praise Hashem and then you should daven and you should ask for your needs. So we actually do that within the Shemone Esrei itself. We have the Berachos Avos until through Ata Kadosh, that's praise, and then we ask our needs, right? So we do it in the format of Psukkah de Zimra before Berachos Kriya Shema. So we're first praising Hashem before we go into the Shemone Esrei, but we're actually going to ask for our needs. So that's really one of the sources. So what's the point of that? Like, the whole reason we daven Psukkah de Zimra is so we can sort of, everybody likes to, if you like, I don't want to get political, but that sounds like Trump. You know, like, you want to get something from him, first you butter him up and you tell him how great he is and whatever, and like, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think, is not a little above that. Like, he is literally infinitely above that, you know? Whoever you voted for, it doesn't really matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely above that individual. So it seems ridiculous that Hashem, like, we're not allowed to approach him before. No, but that's what he's saying. That it's not about, you know, getting God in a good mood. It's that when you realize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can be machnia yourself in his presence. And you say, like, wow, look who I'm talking to. Look at who I am. Look who I'm talking to. So I need everything. I can do nothing, right? There's a very nice mashal I like to quote from Rav Shimshon Pinkus. You guys ever read any of his stuff? Yeah, it's beautiful. I was zocher when he was alive. I was privileged to hear from him a few times. But he died in a car accident. It was a very big tragedy. Him and his wife and a couple of their kids. He died in a car accident. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was American, and he really had a koach of giving over certain messages in Machshava and Musar and
Gilead Shabbos.
Yeah, Shabbos Malchus. Right, so I was reading the Svarim when they were published. He published Sharim B'Tfilah and Shabbos Malchus, one or two other small Svarim during his lifetime, and then afterwards they started publishing all of his all of the Shmuzim that he gave. And he wrote many, many Svarim after he died. But during his lifetime, there is still a qualitative difference between the Svarim that he wrote versus the Svarim that... So it's a different style. But it's all great stuff. So he used to give a mashal. I heard him say this mashal where he said that... No, I don't think I actually heard him. Sorry, I take it back. I read this in one of the books. So he said that when you have a... When you have a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old kid and he wakes you up in the middle of the night and he's like, you look up and then you're a little annoyed. You're like, I thought we were past this whole waking me up in the middle of the night thing. So you say, what's wrong? Must be something terrible. He's like, I'm thirsty. I really want a drink. So it's like, okay, you're a big boy. Go to the refrigerator, get a drink. Like, what? You don't need to tell me about it. Like, just go get it. So he says, that's the way you treat the 10-year-old boy. He says, what if you have a newborn? He says, you have a newborn, the newborn cries, makes one peep in the middle of the night. You quick run over there, you're like, I wonder what he wants, you know, this, and try to give him that, try to feed him, you know, maybe change the diaper, whatever it is. You know, all you need to hear are the cries, and then at your service, that's it. So he says that most of the time we approach tefillah, so we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, God, I really could use your help in like this one thing. And everything else, I got it. I'm good. I got it covered. You know, but this one thing, I could really use some help. So please help me in this one thing. And like, it's such a chutzpah. Like, it's like you're waking up the Baruch Hu. He's like, all right, you're such a big boy. And then go get it yourself. You know, you got everything else by yourself, apparently. So go get it yourself. But if you approach tefillah by understanding that, no, really all the things that I think I'm doing for myself, you did that for me also. And I really can't do anything. So then you're like the little baby crying, and like Hashem is like, okay, I'm here to tend to your needs. If you approach to in the right way, it's a much more effective experience. So Kedi Zimra is supposed to help us with that, to realize the godless of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then to realize by comparison how lowly we are, so that we can daven properly, and we can approach things with a good attitude. So he's saying all that is mutter, says the Meiri. If that's the goal, all of that is going to be mutter. Right? And this is what we have in this Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, right? It's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch that what you're allowed to learn, what you're not allowed to learn. He adds in, not in this Sif in Shulchan Aruch, but there, that the source number 4 is basically just quoting the Gemara that we had. And, where should we go here? One second, sorry. Right. Okay. You know what? We don't have time to get into it right now, but it's kedai to look in the Taz and the Magen Avraham. Here they discuss maybe there's a maybe when it comes to learning with the kids, that's a painful experience unto itself. So maybe it says they're not really sure if it's maybe it's usher to teach the kids because the Rebbe will enjoy the learning or because the kids will enjoy the learning or which one. So the question that I had, basically, if we look, I just want to do a couple more sources and try to speak this idea out. If you look in source number 8, that's Tuf Kuf Nun Dalet Beis. This one, the one we had previously, is Aleph. So he says, what is it mutter to learn? Medrash Eicha, Ilum Adalchin, which is Hilchos Avelis in Moed Katan, right? V'chein Lomod Pirish Eicha, Pirish Eov, right? Yesh Misha Oso Lomod Eide Hirhur. Maybe you're not allowed to think in learning. Meaning he's saying that even though you're not allowed, even the things you're not allowed to learn, maybe you're not even allowed to think in learning. Umutras Mutter Klikros Kol Seder Ayom Parsa Karbanos Mishne Zeiz Makom and Yishuv Yishmal Umutra Lachzor Parsha B'Tishabo. And he actually seems to say that you're allowed to do Shnai Mikra. I assume he just means maybe that's not what he's talking about, but that's what I think he's talking about. So fine. So here the Magen Avraham just throws in in source number 9 that even the Dvarim Arayim, you're not supposed to learn them in an Iyun type of way. Right? He says nearly to mehai taima asur lilmod ezo drush o kashiv eteretz afilu bedvarim aroyim. You're not supposed to learn drushes or good kashas and good answers even in those topics. Meaning Elul Magalchin is a perek in Shas. It's got great stuff in it. You know, that's not the right way to learn it. Ibn Asia Simcha Hulo, because that's going to cause rejoicing. V'gam asur lahoros hora. You can't give a psak halacha imlo lechol atzarech achshav, right? Unless it's specifically related to something of the day, like a person saying. But if somebody just has a shaila and they want to know the answer, just to know for later, that don't you're not allowed to give that psak halacha. Fine. I'm just one ha'ar on that. The Shari Tshuva quotes, well, let's say you think of a chiddush, you're allowed to write it down. You're allowed to write it down on Tisha B'Av. He says, not. What?
Maybe it's like similar to, like, if you're trying to marry a woman, like someone's going to come and do it before.
Right. So he's not as concerned, because he says, he says some people hold it's mutter. He says shiny Tisha B'Av on Chol Hamoed it's mutter. Sorry. He says even though on Chol Hamoed it's mutter, because consider a davar avid that if you don't write it down now you might forget it. So he says shiny Tisha B'Av the simcha hilo kijakosim chidushi tar. It's a big simcha to write down chidushim. V'gam sheino rak yom echad v'im choshe sheishka. So he says that also it's one day. You'll remember tomorrow. Some of us, myself included, were lucky if we remember 10 minutes from now. But Shari Tshuva wasn't so concerned. He said you can wait till tomorrow to write it down. I just thought it was appropriate to see the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos. There's an iser called a shocheach dover echad mi mishnaso malal apasuk kilu mischay benasho. Right, so he says it's like your chayav misa for forgetting one thing from your learning. So how could you not write down the chiddush? You want to be chayav misa for forgetting your learning? He says there's nothing more your learning than your own chiddush. You know, even if it's not the world's greatest chiddush. A lot of times we think of a chiddush, so we think, is that really worthy of being called a chiddush? Whatever it is, if it's a new understanding for you, that's a chiddush for you. So you're allowed to write that. Even if it's just like you figured it out, even though you're not saying a new idea, it's just like a havana in the. Now I understand Shita's Rashi. I understand Shita's Tosfos. You know, like. That's also a chiddush that's worth writing down. So he's saying, how could you force yourself, put yourself in a situation where you might forget that? So if you look in the Mishnah, it's not really such a problem, because he says, Raki Shama Lachosh, Mornashama Oh, Pentishkach Zadvarim, Yachal Afilu Tokfa Allah Mishnah. So maybe it was just too much. You learned a lot and it was just you forgot it. So Talmud Lomar, Upen Yasuru Milvavcha Koime Chayecha. If you remove it from your hearts, you purposely forget it. So he's saying many ask the kasha, how could you not be allowed to write down the Chidushei Torah that you think of on Tisha B'Av? So the Shari Tshuva says, no, it's not a problem, you'll probably remember. But even if you would forget, that's not called Pen Yasuru Milvav. Right? You're causing yourself to forget. It's not the same thing. Right? So that's the basic outline of what I wanted to say.
You might voice the Havamina that would allow you to put it down.
What's the Havamina? The Havamina that you're allowed to write it down is it's a much worse isser to forget your learning than it is to learn on Tisha B'Av. So in other words, you shouldn't learn on Tisha B'Av. It's not right. It's not the appropriate behavior for the day. But to be mischayev benafsho, even if you sat and ate the whole Tisha B'Av, you might think you're a pretty horrible guy. But I don't think you're chayev misa. You know, and here he says you're at least mischay benafsho. I don't know. Beis Din is not going to give you skila, but it's you're mischay benafsho if you forget your learning. So you're purposely choosing to engage in the possibility of forgetting your learning. That's not acceptable. So he's saying no. It's only you're only mischay benafsho if you choose to forget it, rather than you had no choice. We forget things all the time. You know, it's just a question of is the reason you forgot because you wanted to forget, or the reason you forgot because you're a human being and people forget things? Okay. So based on the things we've seen thus far, there's a lot more to see, but based on what we've seen thus far, the simple question is this. The source of not being allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av is Pekudi Hashem Yisrael Masam Chilei, according to Rashi. So what does that mean? It means that the Torah makes your heart rejoice. So, so the average 10th grader will say, oh, then I should sit and learn the whole Tisha B'Av, because I hate learning, God forbid. But I hate learning, and therefore I want to learn the whole Tisha B'Av just so I'll feel as sad as possible. Right now he's a frum Jew, he wants to do the right thing, but he knows he doesn't enjoy learning Gemara, Mishnayos, or whatever very much. So he's dafka gonna learn the sugya he knows, and he's gonna learn it and the whole day. So So is he allowed to do that? Oh, so that's question number one. Let's say he finally understands it. Right? So that's along the lines of what we skipped in the Taz and the Magen Avraham and the Bach about, like, Tinokel Shobis Rabban, it's all rote. The godless of learning with Tinokel Shobis Rabban is that they enjoy the learning because they learn things by rote. So when they know it, even though they don't even know what they're talking about, they have zero Havana. Like, they know how to repeat the pause. Like, Pereshis, Bar Elokim, right? They translate some places. My daughter and my boys learn in English, but my daughter in their school, they translate Hebrew to English. They translate, like, they go from Biblical Hebrew to modern Hebrew to English. Right, and like when our parents and grandparents went to yeshiva, they would translate from Hebrew or Aramaic to Yiddish to English. You know, so it's all rote. They didn't really know. Sometimes people will tell you that when they went to yeshiva, they knew how to translate 30 blot of Gemara a year into Yiddish, and they didn't really speak Yiddish, but they knew it because that was their job. You got to know it. So for a Tinok L'Shel Beis Rabban, they'll get a geshmak, not out of the actual tochen of the learning. They get a geshmak out of the fact that they accomplished their task. Right? These Zilberman yeshivas, which ironically are closed only twice a year, I think. They're closed on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So these Zilberman yeshivas, the kids, they know, I mean, they know, shockingly, they rediscovered what Chazal said 2,000 years ago, that kids are not cut out for svara. Kids are cut out for just pounding information. Right? And therefore they just memorize Tanakh, and then they memorize Mishnayos, and they just learn up Bikiyas and Bikiyas and Bikiyas, and they follow the Seder So it's ironic, the ultimate irony is that they say, oh, the Zilberman Yeshivas, they follow the style of the Vilna Gaon. It's like, the Vilna Gaon is just quoting a Mishnah. Right, trust me, any Zilberman kid will tell you it's a Mishnah. You know, that the Vilna Gaon was just saying, I don't know why we're not following the recipe of Chazal for how to know stuff. So you learn Chumash and Tanakh until you're, how old was it already? Until you're 8, right? Until you're 10, I don't remember already, but then Ben Ezra LeMishnah, then you start learning Mishnah, then you start, and then at 15, you could start, now you have all the information, you could start being Mepalpel Gemara. Gemara in those days doesn't mean Talmud Bavli, that's smart. You can't think of it, it's not the way the human mind is wired, right? So in these yeshivas, the kids get a tremendous geschmack out of just knowing stuff. They don't even know what they know, but they know that they know it. Right, so they love being able. You start a puzzle, they finish the puzzle. You start a mission, they finish the mission. Oh yeah, I saw that video. Right, so the kid, I don't know what the kid understands or what he doesn't understand, but he gets a geschmack out of just knowing the words really well. Right, so that's what kids like. So that's why we close Tinokel Shel Beis Rabban, not necessarily because the actual Torah is penetrating their hearts, but because they feel a sense of accomplishment in the fact that they did their job, so that's a shiloh. But for us, it's not about the Torah. It's not about the Torah, that we feel on the outside necessarily this great joy every time we read a pasuk in Chumash. It says Kuri Hashem Risharim is Samchein Lev. It caused our heart to rejoice. So, and that's the pasuk is not just making a nice observation. It's an existential statement of fact that the Torah makes a person's heart rejoice, right? There's a very nice biur that Rav Kook has on Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. They published these. It's four svarim, Ein Ayah. They have the Rav Kook's biurim on the Agadatos and Brachos and Shabbos. So in the famous Shadim Gemara in Brachos, so the Gemara has like four or five weird statements in a row about things that we blame Shadim. So it says, so the first statement is that Agra Dekala, or it's Hai Duchka Dekala, when you go to the shir and it's very crowded, that's Minayu, that's because of the Shadim. Like, I mean, the Shadim are taking up all the space in the room. Like, look in the room, you see it's full of people, that's why the shir is crowded. So Rav Kook says, no, it's that Shadim are representative of negative spiritual forces in the world. So he says that if a person's neshama was left to its own devices, every word of Torah would be rejoicing, would be unbelievable. But because we live in the real world and Hashem had to balance out the positive and the negative spiritual forces, so he gave koach to these shadim, to these negative forces, to dampen our pleasure that we receive from learning Torah. And therefore, when the shir feels crowded, you know, it's like, imagine if you went to a place and they were giving out winning lottery tickets. You know, the minimum ticket was never for $500,000. Everybody else got at least $1 million, some people only came away with $500,000. So you get home with you got a $5 million ticket. You say to your wife, your wife says, "Oh, how was it?" "It was crowded. It's really, really crowded in there." Like, I don't think the crowd will bother you in the slightest. I got $5 million. You know, like, you came up, but how was it? How was it? I got $5 million. That's how it was. You know? So you don't think about the crowds. So he says, if you're going to a shir, so you say your neshama, okay, crowded. I got Torah here. You know, what are we talking about? So you would be rejoicing in the Torah. You wouldn't be able to care if it was crowded or not. So Rav Kook says the only reason you feel like it's crowded, that's minayu. That's because of the shade. He says that's not really how Torah affects the Jewish neshama. Torah affects our neshamas. It's pure simcha. But it's that that we live in this world where everything has to be balanced, and therefore we don't feel it to its fullest extent. We feel the crowds. You know, so that's a little bit of the idea of Kodesh Hashem Sam Chilev. So if that is true, it really shouldn't make a difference if I'm reading a pasuk in Chumash, or if I'm learning the deepest the deepest lumbus in a difficult Rabbi Kiva Eger. It shouldn't make a shred of difference. Everything is Torah, and therefore Torah causes the heart to rejoice at the highest possible level. And that's why it's Asur on Tishma. So how do we have a heter for the Seder Hayom? How do we have a heter for the Dvarim Arayim? Right? The Dvarim Arayim should be just as Asur. If they really do constitute Talmud Torah, then how could it be that you're not allowed to learn the Dvarim Arayim? And that you are allowed to learn the Dvarim Arayim? And furthermore, what would be the difference between learning a pilpul, a kasha, and a teretz that the Magen Avraham says we're not allowed to do? What would be the difference between that and learning Poshup Shat, Chumash Rashi or whatever, or anything, really, without even endeavoring to understand it? Just reciting the Gemara in Eilu Megalchin should be enough. The fact that it's about a Vela shouldn't really affect anything. So it's a very difficult kasha that you see people tackle it from time to time. The only one really, I thought tackled it head on was Aruch HaShulchan in source number 11. We don't have time to do it together, but check it out. I'm not so happy with Aruch HaShulchan's explanation for certain reasons. But Aruch HaShulchan, at least he's dealing with this basic kasha that really should bother everybody. That if the reason we're not allowed to learn is that the pasuk tells us, the Torah makes our heart rejoice, it doesn't matter whether you're an angry 10th grader or you're the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. Your heart is always rejoicing when you learn Torah. So I think, Lanias Daiti, I think the best possible answer that you can give to this question is that in reality, Talmud Torah is mesameach you, and it brings you a great deal of simcha regardless of what you're learning and on what level you are learning. However, that's not what's usser on Tisha B'Av. There's no isser on Tisha B'Av to be besimcha. If there would be an isser on Tisha B'Av to be besimcha, you wouldn't be allowed to learn anything. You wouldn't be allowed to say the psukim of psukim de Zimra. You wouldn't be allowed to learn. You wouldn't be allowed to do any of the above. The isser of simcha on Tisha B'Av is to display outwardly the simcha that you are feeling. That's the idea of not learning Torah on Tisha B'Av, because it's possible that my heart can be rejoicing, but I'm not actually doing anything wrong. What I would be doing wrong is if I let that joy bubble to the surface and I'm walking around with a big smile on my face and everybody thought I was very happy. That is not allowed on Tisha B'Av. You can't bring the simcha to the surface. And if you think about it, that also explains the machlokes and the tanoim in the Braisa. Because the Tanakhama says, not only are you allowed to learn the Dvar Maroim, you're even allowed to learn those things which you're unfamiliar with. Because you're going to be breaking your teeth over every line of the Gemara. So that's not such a big simcha. You don't see some guy, the guy's going through the Gemara. He's like, oy vey, another line, I don't understand. Another thing, he's referencing some Gemara in Croesus. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, you feel frustration. You look at the guy's face, you see frustration. So the Tanakhama says, yeah, that's mutter to learn on Tisha B'Av. And then comes along the second day in the Braiser of Yehuda. He says, no, you're not allowed to learn that. And that's how we paskin. You're not allowed to learn that on Tisha B'Av, because what's the reason you can't do that? Not because of the learning initially, but because, ain simcha kataras asfekos, that there's no greater simcha, there's no greater sense of, for lack of a better term, it's a feeling of liberation when you go through a difficult Gemara and you finally feel like you've got it. So like, even if you don't really have it, even if your pshat is wrong, you still feel a tremendous sense of accomplishment. And you feel that, like, that tinokol shemis rabban gishmak of I did my job really well. So that sense of liberation, when you finally figure it out, that's going to lead to this outward simcha. So the same frustration that you had on your face 10 minutes ago, now all of a sudden is a big smile, because look what I did, look what I accomplished. Now I know it. Right? And that is not permissible on Tisha B'Av.
How does that answer the question of the 10th grader that says he hates Gemara and he never has enjoyable time? Because his simcha would never come to the surface.
So in Achinami, so for that kid, probably you would, in a vacuum, you would say that, yeah, for you it would actually be permissible to learn anything. The problem is you're running into the same issue as the Tanakhama, who holds that you're allowed to learn something that you're in a ragubakach. So he's saying that it could be that just because you spent the time on it, that sense of accomplishment and liberation of having now knowing your stuff is going to cause a problem. However, what helps you avoid that problem? You avoid that problem when you're preoccupied with something else. When you're preoccupied with a primary reason why you're engaging in that particular learning, that will keep the simcha from coming to the surface. And therefore, anything which is the Seder Hayom, that you yourself don't really view as Talmud Torah. You don't view Ezu Makoman, right? What am I doing now? I'm saying Ezu Makoman. Oh, I'm learning Mishnayos, So the irony is, I think Joe mentioned this a while back. I don't remember who said it, but he said that, right, I think Joe mentioned when you do the Mishnayos, you have to actually know what you're talking about, because it's not a tefillah. You don't just say, right, I'm saying Bama Madlikin on Friday. You don't say Mishnayos. You learn Mishnayos. You can say Psukim, it's a machlokas, but we generally assume like the Shulchan Aruch Harav, who says that even when you say Psukim, that's the lowest level of Talmud Torah. Saying the words without even understanding them still constitutes a low level of Talmud Torah, whereas saying words of Mishnah and Gemara does not, because the words are not inherently valuable. It's the meaning of the words, as opposed to Tanakh, the text itself is valuable. We have a text of Torah Sheba'al Peh, but that's not the text. Just happens to be what we use. But so that's I think the idea behind the Seder Hayom is that you have a preoccupation with trying to accomplish what you're supposed to do. So what are you doing now? I'm saying Sukkotism. Are you learning Sukkotism? Not learning Sukkotism. And therefore, the fact that my heart might be rejoicing from the Torah that's contained therein is not really going to cause the simcha to come out to the surface, because I'm not going to realize even that I'm learning. And therefore, my preoccupation is going to prevent the simcha from coming out. Similarly, how you doing?
Good.
Similarly, you can say that applies to the Dvar Maroim also. Like, even if you have something that you're learning inside, Hilchas Avelus or Megillas Eicha or whatever, so your heart is rejoicing from the fact that you're learning Torah, but it's not going to make it to the surface because the topics themselves are so sad, and therefore, even though you might want to rejoice because what you're doing, it'll be prevented from doing so by your own your own consciousness. You're gonna say, I can't rejoice, like this is such sad stuff. Or if it's Avelis, whatever, you talk about Avelis stuff, it's an Yeshiva, you talk about the Inuyim, and you talk about Hilchos Tisha B'Av, whatever it is, it's going to keep you in a certain somber state of being. But the Magen Avraham says that doesn't necessarily, when you start getting involved in a certain pilpul, start getting involved in a certain lumdus of Kasha and Teretz, and try to be Ma'ayan B'Davar on a deeper level, you might forget yourself. You might forget yourself, and that's l'chora also why you can say the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesh Misha Oser Lilmod Al Yedei Hirhur, and he quotes it as a Yesh Misha Oser. That probably means you shouldn't do it, but what do you mean Yesh Misha Oser? It's Oser. Lilmod Torah Al Yedei Hirhur is Lilmod Torah, right? This is whatever. Leaving aside the famous machlokas between the Mechaber and the Gra and Siman Mem Zayin about the Birchat Torah and Hirhur Torah. But there is what to connect there, but we're not going to connect it right now. But Limud Torah, the Gra points out that the pasuk says v'hagisa bo yom v'lech. Hagisa is lashon higayon halev. It's not. It means logic. It means thought. It doesn't mean verbalizing. You learn Torah without verbalizing. There is an inyan to speak the words you're learning. That'll help you remember it better. You get more of yourself involved in it. But Lamaisa, you're still learning Torah. You see a person who's sitting and he's thinking and he's trying to figure out the sugya. He's clearly engaged in Talmud Torah on a very high level. So what do you mean, some say it's usher? Yeah, because when you're just thinking, so yeah, that's a simcha salev. That's not a way that the simcha can come to the forefront. So I think if you go with this mahalach, it really does explain the different shittas that we had. Just bekitzer nimratz, I just wanted to speak out one last point, is that the Rishonim really already, a lot of the sources here, and then there's a page 2 which I didn't give you, but a lot of the Rishonim and Nachronim discuss, like, so Taka, is there a chiyuv of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av? And if there is a chiyuv, how can the Chacham just come and take it away from you like that? Or for Avelis for that matter. So for those who say that there is a chiyuv, they say, yeah, there's a chiyuv. You just have to learn these things. There's a chiyuv Talmud Torah, but you have to, so just learn Eilu Magalchen, learn Hilchos Avelis. I think, I don't know if Rabbi Willig still does it, but I think once upon a time he used to do an Avelis marathon in the afternoon. I think Rabbi Sabalovsky did that back way back when the PMP first started. Rabbi Sabalovsky also took up that, I think, because he did it when he was in Marsha Kol, so he did it here also. They just do like 3-4 hours of Hilchos Avelis in a row. Just Pasha Mechaber Amah, simple Shachtaz, this is the basics. Just go through Hilchos Avelis the whole afternoon. Because you're allowed to learn Hilchos Avelis. So you're saying, so that's the limud of the day. There's also always an inyan of learning in Yanei Diyoma. Right, the Gemara in the end of Maseches Megillah, they should learn Hilchos Chag B'Chag, Hilchos Pesach B'Pesach. Right, so there's an inyan of learning in Yoni Diyoma. Those are the Yoni Diyoma that you're supposed to learn. There's a chiyuv to learn Kol Torah Kula, but specific times you're supposed to learn specific things. So that's the ones old that there really is a chiyuv Talmud Torah. But those old, there's no chiyuv Talmud Torah, so it's hard to understand. They say maybe there's really no chiyuv to learn. You say, what else am I supposed to do? I want to learn. Okay, so learn this. But that's not really together limud. So how could you say they canceled the Yesh Koch B'Yach Chachamim Lakra Davman Torah B'Shei Ba'al Pasah? Fine, but is that really what's going on here? They remove the mitzvah of Talmud Torah from the whole day? So l'chora, no, that's not what they're doing here. Then what is the nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Right? What is the nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So you say to the person, how often are you chayiv to learn? How often are you chayiv to learn? I don't know, in general. That's the answer. What?
Yom
Ha'olam. Every day. Yom. So you got to learn day and night. I go to work for 12 hours a day, and then I have to eat 3 meals a day. I have to say hello to my wife and kids, and I have to do, I got to commute and whatever. So, I already took up more than 24 hours. So I'm supposed to also learn? Like, it's impossible. I can't learn. So the Gemara in Sefas Menachos says that even if you just said Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, so you were Mekayim Lo Yomush. It's the minimum Sheba minimum that if you do Kriya Shema in the morning and at night, that's Torah in the morning, Torah at night, you're Mekayim that pasuk of Lo Yamash, Vagisavayam Vavayla. So if that's the case, that's the minimal amount, and there's a maximum, obviously, of the entire day. So, but Lemaisa, if you say that I could be Yotze Talmud Torah with just Kriyas Shema Shachar Zadi, would there even be a concept of Bittul Torah? What's Bittul Torah? Like, there's no such thing. Like, I already said Kriyas Shema today, and I'm planning on saying it later tonight, so I'm good. So what am I wasting? I'm not wasting time from learning. So many Achronim, you know, the Stipler has this, or Sameach has this, definitely others I'm just not thinking of right now. But they all say along the same lines that really the Talmud Torah, the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is that you're supposed to learn when you have the opportunity to do so. So when you have free time and you don't have other things that you need to do, so that's when you're supposed to learn, and that's when you're chayav to learn. And Stipler says it based on how much time you have to do it and what your abilities are. I think Dar Sameach goes so far as to say that it's also telling how much cheshek you have for learning. So if you have a lot of cheshek for learning, then for you to not learn is bittul Torah. If you have very little cheshek for learning, there's less bittul Torah, right? So he's saying when you have the time to learn because you're not engaged in other activities, therefore that's when you're chayiv to learn Torah. That's the time for learning. And a lot of rayas to that effect. The Shinos Elio says almost the same thing, but from a reverse perspective. He says you're really chayiv to learn all the time, but you have certain heterim. You have a heter to make a living. You know, he says to do other mitzvos, because obviously if all anybody ever did was learn, nobody would do anything. There would be no tariag mitzvos. There would just be Talmud Torah. So he says that way. You need to have a family. You need to go to work. You need to do these things, and therefore you don't have to learn during those times. You have to learn every other time. So essentially, there's not a big nafkamina. It's just they're approaching it from the exact opposite perspective. The Grohl, you have to learn all the time. Just you're going to have a lot of heterim not to. And the Stipler and our Sameach are holding. You're only chayv to learn once you have time to learn. So he's saying. So, but other things come first. So if you understand it that way, either from either perspective, you understand the chiyuv Talmud Torah Tisha B'Av very well, and Avelis as well. It's not that they removed the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They gave you a different Avodah Sayom. The Avodah Sayom of Tisha B'Av, the Avodah Sayom when you're sitting Shiva, is to be actively engaged in Avelis. So to engage the Avelis is what you're supposed to be doing. So mainly you don't have, quote-unquote, free time to sit and learn Torah, because I'm busy doing a different mitzvah. I'm busy, you know, if your parents tell you, we need you to do this right now, there's no one else that can do it. So that's what we call mitzvah yesho le'asa sayideh acherim. So you don't have time to learn right now because you're engaged in this other, you know, task that you might not have wanted to do on your own, but your parents told you have to do it. So for the time that you're doing that, you don't have the time to learn Torah. Similarly, on Tisha B'Av, it's not that the Chachamim removed the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's that the Chachamim said, you should be doing this. And therefore, when you are doing this, Mela, you're not learning. And therefore they said, okay, so we want you to actively engage in Avelis. Okay, so you can't engage in Avelis just stand like a person sitting Shiva, so you can learn these things. These things don't fly in the face of the concept of the Avelis. And therefore, it's not that there's no chi of Talmud Torah, it's just there's, quote unquote, no time to learn. There's no ability to learn, and therefore, there's not an active, you're not considered being mevatel Torah if you don't learn Torah on Tisha B'Av the same way you would any other day. Anyway, I think that's a nice way to explain.
On Tisha B'Av, like, I have, like, some shiurim that will make, like, Eicha, and, like, some things that were given on Tisha B'Av last year that were recorded, like, right. Stuff like that, and, like, maybe I'll look at, like, Eicha, like, Eilus.
Yeah, it's very worthwhile. No, it's a very good way to spend the day if you can, you know.
So shiurim are good, just they should be on topic.
Right, they should be topical. Again, it goes back to what we said at the beginning, that, like, we don't have the ability to pull it off. I think an authentic Tisha B'Av versus what we do would look very different. But I also know we are who we are, and so we shouldn't violate the letter of the law, certainly. But we should leave our learning to those in Yanim that are supposed to be learned on Tisha B'Av. Okay, have a good night, guys.
Yeah, now you're done.